Calling the April 2nd regular meeting of the Riders Advisory Council to order. We do have a quorum, and I would like to invite the public to comment. Are there any public comments? Okay. Next, there is the approval of the agenda. Are there any changes to be made? Okay. I'm making one change. You might notice that we have a new member with us, Bob Fogel, who was appointed by the board at its March 27th meeting. So I'd like to give Bob a minute to introduce himself to us. I'm aware of his credentials because I was there when they were talked about at the board meeting, but please introduce yourself.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. My name is Bob Fogel. I'm the representative from Montgomery County, from the, I guess, the western side of Montgomery County. I've been a Metro Rider user for the 27 years I lived in Montgomery County, and for the 8 years prior to that, I was a district resident. So I've used the system a lot, both the bus and the Red Line. I'm a supporter of transit in many, many ways. Professionally, I spent the last 28 years working for the National Association of Counties, which is an organization, national organization that represents all the county governments in the United States, and I was their transportation staff person. Prior to that, I worked on the Hill. I worked on some transportation issues there as well. So I'm looking forward to this experience. I think it'll be great. I should add that I retired from NACO about 5 months ago. So. I have some time to put into this. So congratulations to all of you for your service on this board, and let's carry on. Thanks.
Thank you. The next thing I want to do is to have the somebody entertain a motion to put the minutes on the floor for approval. Okay. Let's discuss the minutes of the March 5th meeting. I did review them in detail, both in the first draft and again this afternoon, so just making a statement. They look good to me, but I do need to have them reviewed by others. Okay. Bob.
I think there might be just a very slight error on page 10. Second paragraph from the bottom says $1.70 for cash, $1.90 for Smart Trip, and I think those are reversed. Should have been the other.
Right, you are.
So, but that was it.
Oh, okay, I missed it. Okay. Any other changes? All in favor of accepting the minutes as written with the one change? Thank you. The next are the minutes of the special meeting that was held March 19, 2014. And as I understand it, obviously only the people who were there could speak to it, but other people can just not vote or abstain, even though I don't have to call for abstentions. So are there any, can somebody move to put that, those minutes on the floor for discussion? Thank you.
Second.
Okay, are there any changes that need to be made? So are we ready to vote? All in favor of accepting the minutes of the special meeting of March 19th as written, raise your hands. Thank you. Okay. I just want to say something, and this is by way of an apology, which is probably going to put John on the spot. I apologize that we didn't get these materials out to you sooner. John is working two jobs. I don't know if people realize that. He is both the assistant board secretary and the RAC staff coordinator, and Metro's been very busy. He attends all committee meetings and the board meetings, and there's a lot of work to do both before and after. So we're really trying to work hard to get to the point where we get materials out in advance, and I appreciate those of you who were here early looking over the materials. So we're not abandoning that as a goal. It's just that it's hard to do that when one person is doing the work of two and sometimes three people. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, that is wonderful news. That is wonderful news. I'm sorry, that was very unchairman-like, Madam Chair-like of me. But believe me, you don't know how happy that makes me. No, I really do appreciate that, and I guess even though I'm sort of going a little bit off agenda, it's good to tell you that as far as the hiring of a permanent RAC staff coordinator, what's happening is this. Hopefully, the position will be posted this week. What has delayed it is that Metro has been switching over to a different HR software. So there was like a freeze on all positions being posted. And so there's a position description which I had the opportunity to review. The position is likely to be posted this week. I think HR is doing a review of some technical part. And our hiring committee is ready to go. So it's possible, and I know, John, you're going to scoff at this, that there could be a permanent person as early as the end of May. Maybe. But the fact that you have a temp is good news. Okay. The second thing I want to do is to me, the heart of our meeting is to turn this next part of our meeting over to Dan Turk and Tom Draft. And I just want to thank the two of them, the people who worked on this, Fred Walker on the budget team, because I really think these documents have helped us move forward very swiftly. So, Dan, I'll turn it over to you.
Thanks, Carol. First of all, thanks to everybody that shared their ideas through email, and especially to Ben. Ben is really, he's a good model, I think, for all of us, because he really proactively does a lot of work and a lot of thinking, and, you know, I think it really helps us get closer towards really having some good deliverables. I was in charge of sort of just organizing ideas for what we could do with the Program Planning and Projects Committee. And I'd like to just be very brief and then maybe ask Ben if he would like to elaborate some details and then open it up for comments. In general, we just see, it's on page 17, actually, my little write-up here, which is quite simple. We see two levels of priority. The high level priority in terms of what kind of deliverables or where we could focus in the committee is really on rush hour issues and two specific deliverables that came out in our discussions were one having to do with the effects of the implementation of the Silver Line on the Orange and especially the Blue Lines, again, particularly at rush hour. The second one was the 16th Street bus operations, again, particularly at rush hour. And the ideas that we had for deliverables with respect to the Silver Line was certainly Ben had drafted a resolution that we could use as a starting point in terms of identifying things that Metro could study as potential solutions or ways of alleviating the effects on the Blue Line. And then the deliverables in terms of the 16th Street bus corridor, both Ben and Carol were very excited about possibly hosting or setting up a feedback brainstorming session with the public and people from Metro and even politicians attending at the 16th Street area to sort of just generate some ideas and comments about what is a very important issue with respect to buses, I think, because it could be the first possibility that we have in the district here to really give priority to buses, meaning give them their own lanes in certain times or certain places. And it could be the model for what I believe would be a really wonderfully functioning bus system along trunk corridors here in D.C. So I think that being active in that area would be really great. To finish things up, the things that, first of all, I think we all agreed that the better we focus on just a few things, the better in terms of the committee, but we also recognize that there are some other priorities or other things that could be looked at, and those are the ones that we put under medium level. So one would be the electronic payment system, which isn't necessarily a pressing need because it's to be implemented. And then the use of social media and the Metro website. And we didn't really elaborate on deliverables there. But that's all I had to say. And Ben, I just wanted to ask you if you had some things you wanted to elaborate. And please correct me if I said something wrong in terms of what you were, what you had already been doing.
I think you covered it perfectly. I mean, in terms of the orange and blue line, this is something we've been trying to work on for some time now. It goes all the way back to last year. You know, in the leadership team, we were really trying to sort of struggling with, you know, this is going to be a big issue upcoming, and what are we going to do about it? You know, what kind of stance are we going to take? And we had talked in the special meeting a couple weeks ago about trying to develop something about the increasingly limited capacity of Metro and trying to squeeze as much as we can out of the sort of marginal pieces of Metro as possible. And you know, in talking further with Dan about it, I think those two things, sort of trying to get something for the riders of the Blue Line, especially in Virginia, and then the 16th Street corridor, are two areas where we have some value added there. Or at least we can facilitate a conversation with Metro and the public about how that's going to happen. So.
Any other comments? How does it strike you? Especially those who haven't seen, for whom this is the first time they're seeing or hearing this.
Probably always have a question. So the Silver Line. If we sat down and we just brainstormed about the Silver Line, we probably could come up with like a long list of issues that we're maybe worried about. And I guess my question is, would this, what we've chosen here to actually be the top of the important things to consider? I mean, there's a lot of issues. I mean, we could sit down, and I bet you we could spend 2 hours talking about making lists of what all the issues are.
Right. Well, it's not about the Silver Line. It's about the effect of the Silver Line on the orange and blue lines. Well, it's, you know, right, but I'm talking about once the Silver Line comes on, service on the orange and blue lines is going to decrease. Like further than it is already with Rush Plus. So the question is, what, if anything, can Metro do to ease the burden and ease the pain on those people? That's more specifically what we're looking at there.
John, do you have Ben's proposal? Did that ever get to you, the proposed resolution?
Fred, if I could add something. I think, you know, one of the things that I struggled with looking at, you know, what we could do with the committee was sort of, you know, we're rather limited in what we can do. You know, we it's not like we can do independent data analysis. But one of the things that we can do, and I think the resolution that Ben had passed me, which is just something that he'd been thinking about, really highlighted to me that one thing that we can do is identify potential solutions that could be studied. You know, for example, I think if I can remember correctly in what you were talking about with the resolution, Ben, there was something about, you know, looking at prioritizing the use of the 8-car trains along the blue line during the rush hour.
Yes.
Then there was something else about sort of facilitating movement in key metro stations, if I remember correctly. And those, to me, sounded great. It's certainly something we can do. We pass it to the board. They say, hey, are you guys looking into this? And if the answer is no, well, then why aren't you looking into it? And I think that is a value added.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not clever enough to take it off my smartphone and pass it to John. Do you have, you may not have ever gotten it.
I have not seen it.
Okay. And I didn't bring a whole my usual mess of papers with me. But one of the things that struck me was the way Ben framed it. It was, you know, the blue line people have been suffering for a long time because, in effect, they're paying rush hour prices for non-rush hour service. And so I think I think what's key is we would be taking a look at the impact of the Silver Line rather than focusing on the Silver Line per se, and I think that's a doable thing because I don't think the Metro Board or the staff can think of all of the things, you know, that could be done. So.
Dan, I guess my question to you would be, when would we meet to start talking about all of this?
Well, I guess we have to form the committee. I'm certainly interested in being on part of the committee. I say that, you know, very soon. I mean, I think if we focus on just coming up with solutions, that things that Metro should think about, I think it's just a matter of getting together. I mean, I really like the idea with respect to 16th Street in terms of having, you know, inviting the public and people to come in and talk about it. I mean, do you think that something like that would be useful or even possible with respect to the Silver Line effects, Ben?
We tried it to a certain extent last year when we did a listening session down in Alexandria or Arlington or somewhere at the confluence of those two. It was in Arlington? Okay. Okay. Anyway, wherever the borders are over there, it's all Virginia to me. It's, you know, I think we got some good feedback there, and I'm sure that if we tried that again, we'd get some people to show up. Whether that's the most effective, that's probably something that we'd have to talk about, probably in the committee, about how we want to approach that.
Right. The way I see this, and maybe I should have laid this out a little bit better, the way I see it is the deliverable tonight is to establish the committees, to establish the work plans for each committee, and to prioritizing using a common system. That's what I see is the plan for the night. And then I would say that hopefully if the conveners of the committees are still willing to have your first meeting in which you will elect your own chair and note taker if you read my proposed ground rules. That's the way I would see you as progressing. And as somebody who was on this committee, although I didn't tinker around with some of the ideas, I would say that if this committee did impact of the Silver Line on other service, came up with ideas along the lines of Ben's Airport Working Group report of how a vision perhaps for the 16th Street corridor, and maybe took a look at one of these other things like the electronic payment system or improving the use of social media. I think that would be, if we could turn in something substantial on those first two and maybe one of the next three, I think that would be a valuable piece of work. So that would be my suggestion. And the reason that I put the electronic payment system down is because our struggle was cited during the board's conversation or the WMATA staff conversation about the surcharge, you know, how we basically had said we were going to eliminate it and then went back and forth and finally decided that we were going to keep it, even though the board decided something different. But I think that it's important that the board roll out a tight plan for implementation of the electronic payment system so that people are well prepared for it and they don't maybe back down at the last minute or something like that. So that's the only reason why I personally threw that in there. But I think one of those remaining three would do the job. Can we put the PPP, I hate the name of that group, but let the PPP proposal on the...
Yes, we can.
The triple P proposal.
Carol, do you have a suggestion for another name?
No, I just hate that one. It's just a personal thing. And what, well, that's true. And while we're at it, do any of the members of the public have any comments on this? If you've taken a look at this, do you have any comments?
The only thing that comes to mind with
16th Street is that the only thing that will really, quote-unquote, fix 16th Street is dedicated lanes, and that's principally a DDOT issue. Now, you know, obviously, if WMATA were to throw its weight behind dedicated lanes, that would do some good for it, but as I'm sure you know, there's already somewhat of a movement underfoot to try and get dedicated lanes, and it has met with a great deal of resistance. And, you know, because that gets you into D.C. politics rather than sort of just broader jurisdictional politics, I guess the RAC should judge whether or not wading into that is a good use of RAC resources, since WMATA can't just go out and stripe new bus lanes on 16th Street and say, there they are, unfortunately. I wish WMATA could, but it's out of their jurisdiction.
I'll just respond to that. I think you're right, and for that reason, we have no jurisdiction over that. But one thing that WMATA does have control over is the supply of buses in that area. It can control the demands on that area, and that's something that hasn't really been discovered yet. Is can we reduce the pressure on 16th Street by taking the pressure off by putting buses in other areas, things like that. And also looking at what WMATA has done on 16th Street, which is add that little sort of mini loop, is it working? You know, it's been around for a little while now, and I think it's time for the people in the 16th Street corridor to sound off a little bit about, has that worked? Has that not worked? Are there adjustments that need to be made? So I think there, you know, your point's well taken in that the bus, you know, the, you know, whatever lanes thing is something that is probably off the table, but there are other things that can be on the table that would impact that area.
My only suggestion then would be that you might want to look at sort of broadening the scope to sort of north-south arteries rather than just 16th Street. If you do want to focus on solutions that are solely within WMATA's control, like, you know, doing something about the buses on 14th and trying to get people to walk over there and take 14th Street buses instead, well, that's not strictly a 16th Street solution, but it's just moving the problem around.
Fair enough.
Any other comments? Marianne?
I guess in thinking about the broader north-south on that side of town, that gets very much into Silver Spring and going up there, and so the linkages become really important in what you're looking at, because that's a huge place for people to start from that's causing some of the problems for people in the district.
Any other comments? I have a comment, and maybe this is wild. I think that this is a good thing for us to wade into, and I think that we need to, the reason I cited the Airports Working Group report is because I think we can take a broad look. In other words, we have no say over DDOT, but I think a well thought out, a well reasoned, a well researched paper might be able to force some decisions. I mean, because there are lots of options that have been talked about. The advanced traffic signal, you know, special traffic signals for buses, et cetera. And to Kirk's point, I think what I would still do is, and this is partly it's strictly a shill thing, a marketing thing. I think you can get a lot of mileage out of 16th Street corridor that you can't get out north-south priority, because I think people are now kind of focused on that. So I would suggest that even as part of that, you can look at the 14th Street situation. But I do think the 16th Street bus corridor has the advantages, as Marianne said, of connecting. Other jurisdictions have some skin in that game. Now, it's not just a District of Columbia problem. And I think we could, as I said, if we did our homework and we did a coherent, cohesive report, I think we could engage the larger community, not just WMATA. That's why I think it's a good project.
I think my opinion is that this is an issue that is just not going to go away. At some point, because the way the city's growing, there's going to need to be D.C., and I am completely ignorant of D.C. politics, But at some point, there's going to need to be a way that public transportation can get prioritized more than it is right now. And I think that just highlighting the issue is important, but also the fact that, you know, I'm sure that Metro, for example, with the use of its buses on the roads, would love to have more priority, and if we can support them in terms of pushing DDOT. And, you know, my impression of DDOT, and I have some personal knowledge of it, is that it's not a regular Department of Transportation, meaning a regular Department of Transportation of a regular state. The power people are the ones that are building new highways. And in D.C., there's not quite as much of that. They have a mentality of better managing what they have already. So at least at the technical level, I think there are a lot of people at DDOT that look at this as something that not only is coming, but they'd like to support. So I think it's something very worthwhile doing.
Any other thoughts or comments? I guess, really, if I backed up from a, I think, are we ready to make a motion? I know we've discussed it, but are we ready to kind of crystallize this into a motion, which I would like to see saying we're going to establish this committee and it's going to work on the following 1, 2, or 3 projects, and the period. Are we ready for that? What do you mean?
Do we need to charter a committee, or does it just meet?
No, it has to be creative. Yeah, according to the bio, if that's what you mean. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, then I'll move that we create a program planning and projects committee in accordance with the priorities that we see on page 17 of our packet.
I second.
Okay. And what what do we agree will be in there for discussion purposes? Do we agree about the impact of the Silver Line?
As I said, the motion is to establish the committee whose priorities will be in accordance with what we see on page 17.
Right, but there's a lot on page 17. That's why I'm trying
to
continue.
But it's up to the committee to decide.
So you want the committee to kind of further refine this. Okay, got it. All right. Any discussion? I think I heard a second. Did I hear a second? Yeah. Okay. Any discussion on that? The creation of the committee who's going to deal with this stuff on page 17, meaning that they're going to deal with it by prioritizing it, correct? Okay. Is that what you understood?
We'll prioritize it, and then we'll work on the substance of it, yeah. One would hope.
You're looking.
I hadn't heard that.
Okay, so I want to, yeah, I think it's got to be very important that we all agree that what we're agreeing to. You're going to take what I see as the impact of the Silver Line, the 16th Street bus corridor, which are already designated as high level, and then you're going to look at these other three things. Okay, you're going to come back with a priority, but I'm assuming that the priority, you're not going to make the impact of the Orange Line a low priority. In other words, okay, got it. All right. So you're listening to the discussion and going to be sensitive to the will of the RAC. Okay. Any more commentary? All in favor? Any opposed? Great. And by the way, I should have said that Barbara Hermanson and perhaps Aldea, Mary Miller, are both listening but not talking because they're on the internet. Okay, that's it. And we'll turn it over to Dan Turk, who was the convener of the, who was the convener of the Customer Service Committee.
It's not an easy name to say.
Yeah, Tom.
There's very a difficult. Silent H in there that throws most people off.
Okay. So say it, please.
It's DRATS.
Oh, thank you.
As in, like, colloquial slang for
like
shucks.
Like gazoos. Yes.
Okay, so the Customer Service Committee, which I think I've affectionately named the CSC, we discussed a number of things at the last meeting that ended up basically in this paper. We did take feedback from the group. Only one person actually sent feedback in, but it was taken very very much into consideration as I drafted the document. Essentially, what we believe the priorities of the CSC should focus around are enhancing the public's participation in delivering feedback on WMATA service, and then also providing areas for WMATA staff to make basic but impactful improvements to their services. We'd also like to examine performance metrics as they relate to customer service in an effort to improve that service. I basically drafted two kind of primary categories, one enhancing public participation and another that is customer service accountability. You can see the three bullet points under each. They are not prioritized in this list by any means. And I think I left it that way so that the committee once formed could then prioritize those lists. But it's essentially the things that we discussed at the last meeting, taking various comments from the group that was there, as well as some of the other things we've discussed in the last couple of months as a full rack. I'm happy to run through each of them individually if you like. They are there on the paper, though, for reading if anyone has comments. The main thing that I would like to focus on here is that part of the customer service committee, maybe in the past, but certainly going forward, is to also look at safety and security as well. As of recent meetings with the WMATA board and other committees, safety and security is taking, I would say, a front seat in their list of priorities, and it probably does us some good to split off a separate committee into safety and security to deal specifically with those issues. I believe that we will have too large a list to have any real impact in either customer service or the way that we look at the safety and security around WMATA service. If we leave it kind of all under one group. And that was primarily what I was hoping we could discuss tonight. If you'd like me to run through the bullet points, I'm happy to. Otherwise, we can just discuss.
Can you? Oh, they're stuck up there already. Okay.
I'm sorry, I left out a T in safety.
Can I just make a comment on the customer service accountability? I think that's all wonderful stuff, and it's stuff that I think we wanted to get into last year but didn't quite get to. One point that I would just add to that is to talk about the customer comment form on the website. There are a lot of flaws in that and a lot of flaws about how Metro implements that, and I think that's a very important little rabbit hole to go down.
I think one of the things that I looked at in drafting this document and then also in talking to some of the folks that were at the last meeting was we discussed the website. We also discussed customer service and the way that they're linked. The website fell under the triple P. We'll just call it the triple P for tonight, the triple P committee. And I think that even in reviewing some of the bullet points that the triple P, I don't want to call it that anymore, that the projects committee is prioritizing, I think there's area for the two groups to kind of link up specifically around the website because it does cover such a wide array of both projects and customer service and safety.
Could I ask you? Just the two things that were on the list from the last meeting we had that I don't necessarily see here. I was just curious if you just decided they weren't something you guys wanted to focus on. The one that came up was the way that the Metro communicates with riders during incidents, you know, like when there is an incident, how Metro communicates, sort of telling people what's going on. And the second one was sort of the user friendliness for first-time users. I think those were the only ones that I didn't see on here that were on the initial list that we came up with. Now, I think they're important, but it's up to you guys to prioritize.
Sure. let's see, I think I linked the communications during incidents to the second bullet point under the Safety and Security Committee, which is developing recommendations for improving in-station and onboard announcements and messaging. I left out the during incidents portion, I think mostly because I was writing it, and personally I feel like it needs improvements regardless of incident. So I was hoping that we could cover all of that under that point. But thank you for noting that. I think it's important to distinguish. The user experience is highlighted under the second point of the customer service accountability. I didn't denote the difference between a first-time rider or a first-time user and people who use it regularly, again, because I feel like there are improvements to be made for both groups that really should just be addressed in general.
Okay.
But thank you again. And specifically with the user experience, just in case people weren't here last time, we talked about it as it relates to simply boarding trains and buses, like simple access to the system as somebody who's never used it before. And hopefully we can expand that to include the rest of what it's like to be a user of the system.
Catherine.
One question about the first bullet point under customer service accountability, doing a review of all the bus stops, all the bus stops over the next year?
Yes. No.
How many is that per day?
It's a lot per day. I think it's upwards of 30 per day. So all of the bus stops, you know, most likely not at all possible next year. I think what we were hoping is to be able to do a good survey, something that we can rely upon for recommendation and feedback on both how Metro services those facilities, whether it be in improving messaging or providing updates to service, and also just general accessibility. One of the recommendations was to partner with the AAC because they've done such extensive work, I believe previously, on how bus stops are accessible. And so we were hoping to kind of, I think, piggyback off of that, off the initial work. But thank you. All of the bus stops would be probably an overstatement.
Well, can I just chime in that Metro staff has done a lot of this? I mean, I think part of the committee's work is going to be to see what kind of things Metro staff, you know, has worked on before. I don't know that you all need to be going out and inventorying bus stops.
Yeah, that definitely was not the...
I mean, I'm not saying that it was, but, yeah. You know, I think part of it is you know, working with the staff that we have here to figure out, you know, what's being done, and not just for this committee, for the projects committee as well, what's being done, what's being studied, you know, sort of what else is in the hopper, because obviously Metro is doing a lot more than is just being discussed, you know, here this evening.
Right, and I know that Patrick has something to add because he and I ran into each other and had a little conversation where he pointed this would probably need to be amended because what it says, Patrick, is the committee will partner with WMATA staff and the AAC to conduct a full review of Metro bus stops, specifically to identify areas of improvement using current funding.
Right.
And I think you told me when we talked last that AAC or there's already stuff underway, so obviously we're not out to duplicate.
Right, exactly. Right. I think, and I think I gave you the name of somebody in the IT department.
Right, you did.
GIS person. So I think that if we were going to start, that would be a great piece for this committee to get to see, because in that bus stop GIS piece, they talk about the software and how they've broken it down, and they've broken it down into three sections, accessibility being one of them, and I forget the other two areas, but they've broken it down into like 15 or 20 sections, and it's, you know, pretty amazing piece of work. I was impressed. So I think that would be a good place to start on that.
Yeah, I think for us, particularly around the accountability aspect, what was most important was the actual partnership with WMATA, because what will need to be done will be done by WMATA staff, certainly. But it is good to note that research has been done and definitely noted and will be used.
Additional comments on this piece, Ben?
It seems like a minor issue, but I think for everyone who's ever ridden Metro Rail, it's a huge issue. And it's one that WMATA has not come up with a good way to deal with yet, and it is reporting hot cars. We're getting winter is finally going away from us. We're getting into the summer months where there will be some cars that are stifling and terrible. And I know that theoretically you're supposed to push the button and call the train operator and tell them, but most people are not willing or able to do such a thing. I would really love it if this committee tackled that issue, which should be so easy to solve. A hashtag, I'm just suggesting. WMATA hot car.
Hashtag hot cars, I think, probably elicits more meaning than it ought to, but we'll come up with something good.
Yes.
And I don't know where this fits, and I apologize for being late, but one of the issues that people are beating me up on, so they might as well beat up the rack, is, why not share the pain, is cell phone access. I know that when I go on the Orange Line, and particularly on the Red Line, my phone's always cutting out when it gets into tunnels. Now, I know that they're working on improving the telecommunications access, but I also think that that could be another, I mean, certainly texting and making phone calls, you could almost put that in as a safety issue. But I sure think in this day and age, our phones shouldn't be dropping as you're running through the tunnels in the metro system. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if where that falls, but that's an area that I'm getting beat up all the time. It's something they promised, but I haven't really seen much progress.
Okay. Karen.
Yeah. I just had a quick question. Under safety and security, the last bullet, review WMATA's hiring policy. I wanted to know what was the impetus for this one, and is this really an area that the RAC wants to weigh into?
I'm going to leave that to Carol.
Right. Okay. I was the impetus for this. And I was the impetus for this because I have been attending a lot of Metro board and committee meetings. And at these meetings, in addition to the hearings, one of the issues that's been rumbling, you know, and it sometimes surfaces and then it goes beneath the surface again, is Metro's hiring policies. There's usually someone, and at times more than one person, who speaks at the public hearing. But quite frankly, if no one else has a burning interest in this, I'm perfectly willing to take it off the table if no one else is interested in it. I guess where it comes from on my part is I think that Metro has a responsibility as an employer, because it's a major economic engine in this region, and then a lot of the momentum text talks about that. And I think that one of the things they need to do, and it's sort of under communication, is to come clean about what their policy is. They really have been kind of secretive about it. And that's, but believe me, if there's no momentum, if you will, behind this interest, I will take it off the table, because I suggested the Metro bus crime and Metro rider crime based on my attendance and meetings and what seemed to be on people's mind either at the public comment segment or based on statistics. So if people aren't, you know.
One comment is that the hiring policy is not a board. It's done under the authority of the general manager and his group that advises the board. You know, as you refine where you want to spend your energies, that may merit.
Mm-hmm. Well,
that may address how the group views it.
Yeah.
As a Homeland Security professional, the issue for people who don't know is Metro is vetting its staff against various databases after they're hired. They're, you know, all the people who are being hired now are being vetted against the databases, but then they've also gone back and re-vetted people who are already in Metro's hiring pool. So, and then getting rid of the people who they find a hit on. That's the issue. Sort of, should they let sleeping dogs lie, or should they go back and re-vet these people? It's, you know, I'm of sort of two minds of this. I see both the enforcement side and the fair hiring practices side. It's a pretty big issue for the union, especially, and it's sort of a big public policy issue. Mm-hmm. It gets really hairy really fast, and it gets pretty legal very fast. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, it might not be something that the RAC might want to dive into. At the same time, it's important to some people.
Well, why don't we just take a straw break? How do people feel? Should we take this off the agenda or not?
But it is a public policy issue that affects the perception of Metro in the community, and especially, I would say, communities that Metro is trying to reach out to. So,
Well, I, what I would say is, you know, we probably have different opinions. How do people feel? How many people are in favor of retaining this as an issue?
Well, first, I just have one quick question. Is Metro doing this because they want to, or are they actually having to do this because of compliance with other laws?
Yeah, like doing that's unclear to me. That's a good question.
I mean, there are issues. I mean, you know, they're doing it because they want to, be my biased opinion.
Not necessarily. It could be a legal obligation. We don't know.
Yeah. But I guess the fact that we can have a it's sort of like touching the elephant and getting a different animal. I would say this, that it's probably a hot potato. And the politician, small p in me, says we don't want something that's going to cause them to fixate on this and not deal with our other agenda items. So if I were to cross out the one that doesn't belong, since I put it on the table, I'm taking it off the table. So how if I do it, reverse it and say, let me just take that off the table? Does anybody have a problem with that? Okay.
I promise to never put anything that Carol tells me back on the table again. just for the future. It got hairy while I was typing that on the page.
Well, no, because as I said, I do understand the issue.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a public policy issue.
I don't know if there's, if we have time to go into it, maybe, there's a whole slew of other things that I see there.
Okay. Okay. I think I saw Mary Ann's hand.
A different comment, which is there's this way too much stuff. Not only, in my opinion, would safety and security have more than enough to do as a separate committee, almost any one of the bullet points is a year's work. I would suggest with this group that the same thing be done as was done with the other, which is prioritize one or two high priority, and then something else if there is time. Okay. Because otherwise, I doubt that anything would get done.
Okay, then I'd like to suggest that we do this. I would like to entertain a motion to somebody to put a motion on the floor to separate the to establish a separate safety and security committee. Catherine moved, second by Lorraine. Okay. I think we sort of don't have to discuss that a lot unless somebody has a burning
Do we have enough people for that?
Yes. Yes. All I can tell you, and Ben and I have had private conversations about this, chairing this committee is more than a notion. But I have been impressed by the vigor and the passion and the seriousness of purpose of the people in this current council. And I think, yes, we have enough people to do what is necessary because of the caliber of the people that we have representing us. I frankly think that. And as somebody who's been here for 8 years, I think I'm in a good position to make that statement. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's just the stars have aligned. Okay, let's just put it that way. And I think it is better for us to have three committees doing work and maybe a fourth. We haven't talked about the budget committee. And I think the key is honing in on the things that we can make a difference at. So I think so I'm going to call the question unless somebody else has a burning issue. No, I can't. The question is to establish a separate safety and security committee. Right, separate from the customer. Right. And we have an approval and a second. All in favor? Any opposed? Okay, did you get that? Everybody but Ben. Ben was opposed. Okay, so we need to have a convener for that committee, but we'll move on. Can we also, and my next suggestion is that we move that the same motion that was made by Ben and approved apply to this committee. I don't know if John could read it back to us. In other words, that the customer service committee be established to focus on the deliverables and to prioritize them.
So moved.
Okay. Oh, nobody approved. Are you making it or seconding it? Oh, I didn't hear it. Okay. Okay. Any discussion? Call the question. All in favor? Opposed? Okay, we have three committees. And I wanted to talk briefly about the budget committee. My idea about the budget committee, which may go the way of the ex-offenders, is that should we, in effect, the resolution that we had or the motion that we had establishing the budget committee did call for it to remain in formation until the end of December. The thing that would be appropriate if the group agreed to it, and it's another workload, so we may want to bypass it, is to develop comments about the capital budget of Metro for 2015. We've done the operations budget. Do we want to take on the capital budget and make comments? And that's something that, as I understand it, John, the board is beginning to work on now.
Yes, that they will be, well, I don't want to say beginning. Sorry, I'll just let you know I've gotten a couple of texts from Barbara about
speaking into the mic. So yeah. I will try and respond to that. The board and more so staff have been working on the capital budget, frankly, since before it was unveiled back in November. So they are working on approving it in early May.
By working on it, do you mean that they're working on what they would use the capital budget for?
Correct.
Okay. Do they have much discretion? It seems like all that has been done in strategic plans that were approved years ago.
Well, I mean, we can look at the capital budget later. I mean, I would encourage you to look. Obviously, you have some discretion when you put a budget together that you're going to spend more on X and less on Y. You know, it's really, you know, to be very frank, our capital budget, really the big variable is how much people can afford to pay.
Right.
Because if they give us more money, you know, theoretically, we can certainly spend it.
Yeah. Fred, were you getting ready to say something?
So I realize that it may seem like either too late or too early to discuss this, but it strikes me that by the time the RAC gets its mind around to thinking about budget issues, there's like, you know, 20 minutes left for us to like come up with something. And I thought one of the issues that we need to, before we like just put, say we don't need a budget committee anymore, is we need to go back and revisit the whole concept of simplification of the fare structure. I mean, it doesn't mean that like they're going to do anything about it, but I think we should put together a position so 2 years from now we won't have to like rush into the position. So I think it'd be worthwhile to have a few meetings to research that and come up with a proposal to send to the board someday of how they could simplify their fare structure. Because there was a fair amount of discussion about how, A, it's very complicated. Hardly anybody can figure out what the fare is between A and B. And B, the board itself has a part of its whole budget process says the fare structure is supposed to be simple. And it's not.
Okay. Catherine, and then Dan.
Sorry.
Okay.
I just wondered if that was something that could be tackled at the same time that we look at the electronic payment system, which is also something I agree that's coming. But I completely agree. If it's something that we can make comments on early on in the process, it's probably a better chance that, you know, there are ideas that will be looked into as they're designing.
I think that that's an excellent idea, working with the budget committee, and since Fred is the chair, I assume that since he brought it up, he's willing to lead that effort. And I also think that doing a paper or doing something to the board on the fair simplification is probably a better use of resources than dealing with the capital budget at this point in time. Because if you all heard what John said, it's like I'm even thinking that we ought to have a budget committee that's ongoing, because the time to work on the 2017 budget is in 2016. Do you know what I mean? Not, you know, we're sort of running to catch up by the time we really kind of get into it. So I think that having the budget committee work on fair simplification issues is, something we can sign off on is great.
There's one other thing,
yes.
Just along the budget. So around the capital budget, it would probably be worthwhile for those who are interested for us to get somebody to come over and explain exactly how money comes about for capital. Because it doesn't just like show up in the fare box. And there is such a thing called, the long range budget, where money comes from. And I think it's a much more complex process than most people know about. And there are some people around, not in Metro, but maybe in Metro, who'd be happy to come and explain to whoever wants to hear about it, how it works and how you have to get in on the ground floor really early if you want to get money.
Okay. Are you willing to take those two things on as a committee? With anybody else who wants to?
Does anybody else want to? Because I actually already know the answer, so I don't need to hear the presentation.
Is that something that interests you, Bob?
I'm listening.
Okay. can't lure you in like that, huh? Patrick.
One of the things that worked well with our group, we had a working group that worked on fair policy, with Phil. One of the mechanisms that seemed to work pretty well with respect to the meetings we have and you guys have also, was to be able to go in and maybe bounce some of the ideas off the board at your quarterly meetings that you have with the board. So you get a sense from them whether these ideas are going to fly or they're not going to fly, or if you're on the right track or something. The other thing that worked extremely well with us, and I think it's a mechanism RAC can use also, was to work directly with Carol Kissel and run the ideas past her to see which ones might have a chance of flying and which ones don't. And so if you're starting early enough, and when we started, I think we were looking to present some ideas in September of, 13. Mm-hmm. So we had some proposals that we could come up with in 14. And then the other key that really worked nicely, I think, for us the last couple of times was being able to have 8 or 10 talking points that everyone could go in and just hit, time and time again. So it was nicely focused, and the ideas had already been vetted by, let's say, the Carol Kissel of the board that heard them before. So it wasn't something that was brand new that they hadn't been able to sit and digest.
Okay. It's a good time to congratulate the members of the disability community on their winning strategy. I was both moved and impressed. And it worked, most importantly. Okay, so where we are now is, Fred, you're going to work on this with, let's say, whoever will come to such a meeting, if you can convene the right people, because I think you're right. So you're going to work on fair policy for fair simplification, excuse me, and also some kind of briefing on the capital budget, which I think will stand us in good stead. And I think Patrick's point is very well taken. And as much as we can, we do have an agenda item. I apologize if you're not getting in advance, but we will be soliciting topics for the upcoming RAC leadership team board meeting. And I think that's a way to, I think that what you suggested is a good thing to do. Catherine, I'm sorry to taken so long to get back to you.
That actually works out well, because I'm changing the topic ever so slightly. Wondering, a potential action item for one of the committees, probably the P3 committee that I'm perfectly happy to have shot down, but given the significant potential that part of the Red Line is going to be shut down in the upcoming year or two to do the waterproofing that's necessary up in the vicinity of Medical Center, I'm wondering if there's any value in the RAC having input into the best way to handle that.
Excellent. What are you
getting in before plans are actually made?
Yeah, I think that's a good idea and good timing.
And I, just a corollary to that is how Metro's dealt with the public rollout or non-rollout of that. We discussed a little bit last year. There's sort of botched public messaging about whether it was actually necessary or not. And there was quite a bit of confusion in the media and elsewhere, so I think that should also be part of that discussion. But it's an excellent thing that should be discussed.
I want to call for comments from the public at this time on the Customer Service and the Safety and Security Committee. Do you have, okay.
So the first remark I would make is with respect to conflating the issue of fair policy with fair collection technology. I would just sort of strongly urge the RAC to keep those very well separate, because they really are separate issues. I mean, the issue of fair policy should be entirely divorced from fair collection. And, you know, to a certain extent, WMATA's current fair collection technology limits the fair policies that it can implement, but the two should not really necessarily be taken. I mean, you know, if you have to compromise on fair policy because of what the technology will let you do, so be it. But they really are separate issues with separate, separate concerns. And then as far as the red line, I believe it was the last monthly meeting of the Action Committee for Transit, Dave Kubitschek spoke, and he sort of significantly walked back the sense of how disruptive the work was going to be.
What was the name of the person?
Kubitschek.
Oh,
yeah. I'm sorry, not Kubitschek. Yes, I'm sorry. No, because it's his replacement now, right?
Right.
Yeah. Troop. Anyway. Walked back the, you know, sort of the estimate for how bad it's going to be. I couldn't repeat his exact words, but basically the sense was that it's not going to be quite like what the media said, although I agree this only adds to the confusion. But it may not be quite the bad situation that was originally put there. So basically all I'm saying is there may not be quite so much for the RAC to dig into, because it may turn out that it's sort of a non-issue, we hope. I don't disagree. I'm just adding.
I would suggest on that we have a presentation, and now's the time to have it, so we don't run right up to the event and then find, you know, as you say, start scrambling around. Okay. I think we have dealt with what we need to do. Oh, I know what it is. Can people, and we're not going to take up the time in the meeting because I'm eating into the orientation part, can people let Dan, Tom, and Tom know about what committees they want to be on? Do you mind, Karen, if we kind of would not talk about the governance committee? Okay, just in the interest of time, because that's really, we had decided, you'll note at the March 19th minute, that was going to be a meeting of the leadership team is going to be sitting as the governance committee, but all interested parties are welcome. But we can do that a little bit better. But we need to do the orientation, get started on the orientation. So does everybody know what they're going to do? Fred? Yes. Yes, the governance committee is going to do the bylaws review, including the media policy. Yes. And I'm sorry, maybe I'm speaking in too much. Karen Lynch has volunteered to take on the responsibility of, when the leadership team is meeting as a governance committee, to lead that effort. And maybe we need to talk a little bit about that, but I want to move that to the end of the orientation if we can. Okay.
I just had one.
Yes.
Comment related to all this. So regarding the budget group and the other two groups, I was wondering if we can also consider having the budget group support the other two groups from the standpoint of, if we're doing a study on Orange and Blue Line to address some of the overcrowding and capacity issues there, if we can have the budget group kind of support those studies so that when we deliver something to the Metro, in addition to just having recommendations about changes that we can make, maybe we can include some budget inputs on those too that could then maybe help drive or influence, inform the capital budgeting process that that WMATA goes through.
Spoken like a true Fed. But here's what I think. I mean, and that's not a bad thing, okay, being a retired Fed myself. Here's what I think we should do. I think you bring up, I'd like to enlarge on that issue. I think what we need to do is the conveners, chairs of these various committees and the leadership team, we need to have a brief meeting and figure out how we're going to go about organizing so that we have, we don't have multiple requests for similar data floating about in WMATA. That we, when are we going to have a meeting, a presentation at the committee level versus an all-RAC meeting? So why don't we try to get together in a core group of people and discuss those things? Because I think that's what you're really saying. I don't want to just right out off the bat, want to make the budget committee the repository for the coordination, which is definitely necessary. I think that's probably in the portfolio of the leadership team. But we definitely need to do something so that we're not, you know, 20 different people are not asking for or making requests to WMATA. So we can definitely talk about that. Okay. Can we, John, are you ready for your orientation?
Carol?
Yes.
Just occurred to me in terms of the budget committee, is there something that we need to do to keep the budget committee open?
No, because that was when it was set up, right? It was set up to expire in December, so that's. Right. Well, that's a thought that we should have. And by the way, Barbara Hermanson, who is, as I said, listening, is also going to be taking action notes. So we will be getting notes out within the next 2 days so that people will sort of be reminded of what they're going to do. And one of the things that everybody should do is you should sort of choose your committee with the understanding that under the proposed ground rules, you can be an active member of both committees. And vote, et cetera, et cetera. But I think in terms of the issues that have been raised several times about do we have enough people, really would like for somebody to choose a primary committee and be committed to coming to meetings and doing the work in those committees, in that particular committee, although you're welcome to come to the any and all. Does that make sense, people? Okay. John, you're really on now.
Madam Chair, I have a motion. I move that we postpone the orientation part to the end of the agenda, moving up the rest of it. So those of us who don't need to be orientated on the rest of this stuff would not necessarily have to hear it all again.
Okay. Well, if people don't have any objection, we can do that. But, you know, I think probably everybody needs to be oriented at the same time. But if you have to leave, you have to leave, or you don't want to stay. I can understand that. Is that agreeable with everybody, although we didn't do it at the agenda time? Okay. So the proposed RAC ground rules, they're in here. I've made changes based on the subsequent meeting since I last did it. Please email me with your comments. I don't think there's any discussion. There's no ex-offender surprise buried in the proposed ground rules. The topics for the upcoming RAC board leadership meetings, does anybody have any besides the obvious? I mean, obviously, we're going to talk about the broad outlines of these proposed committees and work plans, but are there others that should be in there?
I just have a quick thing that came up speaking with Bob at the end of the last meeting or the meeting before. I don't know if that's the appropriate forum, but, you know, the issue of, like, when somebody from Metro comes to give a presentation and then we have questions that we ask them in email, and then they're answered, but maybe they're not answered, you know, adequately. You know, it seems to me from a personal point of view that, you know, if we can't you know, it seems to me that maybe there's an additional mechanism that we can take in place, or I don't know, because it seems like if at the end of the day, if we can't really get questions answered at least reasonably well within the constraints of privacy or whatever other, then it really does kind of limit us. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I leave it to you guys how and when
well,
to bring it up.
Well, have you had specific instances about that? I mean, I think the only one that I remember for 14 was that we had had some questions that had been posed by, in the previous year, I think, by the Budget Committee. I assume that the Budget Committee got by the full rack. And I thought that those questions were answered. Are you talking about those specifically, or are you just talking in general terms?
I don't have any specifics in mind, okay. And maybe I'm incorrect, but
okay.
In
assuming well, I, again, I think it's up to the leadership team to do a better job of following through so that if questions are raised, we make sure that they are answered. Mary Ann.
One example, I think, was we asked a couple of times of getting information on where they were going out to talk to the public. And I don't think we got anything unless what we got today is that. And this is after the fact. Half
okay.
of them are already done.
Okay.
And they said they were going to talk to community groups. These are not community groups.
Okay. Well, Barbara Hermanson, Vice Chair for Virginia, is going to kind of police that to make sure that our questions get answered and that we do get follow-up.
If I were you, I would ask them about Silverline. What's going on? Supposed to be done by now. We're supposed to be riding that sucker. And Metro hasn't even taken control of it. Now, this is not Metro's fault, but it does have an impact on Metro and Metro's budget that they already voted on and that they're already incurring costs for the Silver Line. You know, and there's been a general lack of information coming from Metro about all of this. You know, even the Washington Post has no idea what's going on, and they've published several articles that say, we don't know what's going on. I think it's a growing issue and one that needs to be communicated to the board.
Okay, agreed. And I think the question that, Patrick, that you sort of raised indirectly of, you know, of vetting things in advance at the senior level, we usually work off of staff presentations, so I think that's a good thing for us to consider, you know, getting information or getting some parameters early about what they're thinking. Not that we necessarily have to be bound by them, but it might be wise to sort of figure out what's on their minds before they go public with it, you know. Anything else that
yeah.
we should be talking about?
Yes. So, yeah, in regards to getting information from WMATA to assist the RAC, so for the projects group, for example, if they're going to be looking at Silver Line, Orange Line, Blue Line issues, if after the next meeting and that report groups out and says, yeah, we're going to take on that issue, we're going to do a study, I think it would be very useful to get these groups out of the starting blocks quickly and smartly for WMATA to kind of go through their archives and help these groups by providing germane materials, relevant materials, studies that they've done recently that we can start digging into. So we're not flying blind, because I think that's one of the biggest obstacles that a group like this faces is how do we get good information so we're not just, you know, tripping over everything. We need to understand the issues.
Yes. Okay. Excellent point. Anything else? If you think
just,
of anything.
One more small point, and I'd raised it with you before, is trying to get some lessons learned from the budget exercise that we went through. I think, I don't know if I'm the only one that noticed, but they did not accept many of our, if any, of our recommendations. And I'd be interested in why and just getting a sense from them about what kind of feedback would be useful for the RAC that would actually influence them in the future.
Yeah, Patrick.
Yeah, I think, I know that the, we had gone to the, on the proposals that we put forward, we had met with Carol Kissel and members of the board going back to that idea and had already briefed them on these issues. So they had already run the issues through their people, staff had run the numbers, and we had a pretty good idea of what was going to work and what wasn't going to work. I know that when we proposed three ideas for Metro Access, two out of those three ideas we had already run the numbers and communicated through the WMATA staff and members of the board on our quarterly meetings. So it wasn't a surprise to them, and I think all of that helps with the communication piece. The other thing is, I guess, Carol, a setup piece with the RAC doing a the piece in front of the board is a nice setup piece so that they know what's coming up. So it's kind of the that ongoing communication that helped, because I know that there were a few things that we gave to the board at the 11th hour, and their reaction was where'd this come from? Mm-hmm. You know, they didn't like being surprised, but they also wanted to chew on the ideas and make sure that it would work. And then after we'd let them have the ideas for a little bit, chew on it, but then we were able to bring the people out to the hearings, and that helped a lot because a lot of the people had the same message, so they kept hearing it over and over again. But I think making sure that you're trying to create a win-win situation with them in terms of numbers and or budget proposals or something. The one thing we did run into a problem with was that they said that our Fair Policy Working Group had nothing to do with accessibility, so we had to be a little bit creative in how we framed the issues, because we're, you know, our mission was accessibility, so what does Fair Policy have to do with that? Mm-hmm. Outside of our scope. Good issue to talk about, but outside of our scope. So that would be something that the RAC would need to be a little bit creative, I think, in expressing.
Carol, I'm sorry, I have another comment. It's Patrick kind of made me think of something, too. So I think another thing that we want to be is we want to be timely. We want to have an impact on WMATA Board of Directors' decisions. So I don't see it in the orientation, and that's okay, but maybe for the next meeting or as a something for email, it would be good to get a month-by-month schedule for maybe the next 24 months, and some of this stuff I'm sure is very cyclical, of the decision-making that the Board of Directors makes month by month so that we can dovetail our activities to feed into those decision processes in a timely way.
I hope I'm not stealing John's thunder, but if you go up on usually the Friday before every committee or board meeting, their packet goes up, and in there they have the last page of their agenda is called subsequent agenda, and you can actually see what they plan to talk about maybe 3 to 6 months.
Yes, certainly not
24. Not 24, but 3 to 6 months in advance. Pressing it. But you do get an advanced look at what they are talking about, and I think that that's important. I mean, Ben and I sort of exchange some information. This is Carol Walker's opinion. My opinion is that they decided up front how much money the jurisdictions were going to contribute, and they held to that line. And if you looked at what they did, the jurisdictions, even though they did some machinations, the jurisdictions didn't end up paying any more than the money that they were going to pay originally, even though they made some changes in the fare structure. So I think they backed into it, and I agree wholeheartedly with Patrick. And we have to be much early. In other words, by the time we think of having a presentation by their budget folks, the train is really on its way to New York. It's in Philadelphia. So I think what we have to do is a combination of all the things we've said about backing up and finding out stuff way in advance. But, okay. Let me go on because I don't want to. Are there any things under 8 about people being in the community? Does anybody have anything to report about community meetings, et cetera, et cetera? I think I put mine in my notes to the chair about the Tacoma Park. Oh. Yeah, the last chair report is in here, and the budget memo is in here. And I think in my notes to the chair, I talked about the public meeting of the Finance and Administration Committee and also the Safety and Security Report, and it's said the best way of looking at that is to go up on WMATA's website. I have two other issues that I need to talk about, and you can pick the paper up from John on your way out the door. I made a contribution I live in the District of Columbia. I made a modest contribution to a candidate's campaign. And of course, in this age of social media, the response to that was to ask for another campaign contribution. And to, I got a call asking if I would do some volunteering on behalf of this candidate. At that point, because the candidate was a member of the WMATA board from the District of Columbia, I asked for a legal opinion. Well, I asked John if there was any conflict of interest, and quite frankly, I thought I was being ridiculous, but I decided, you know, let me ask. And much to my surprise, the Office of General Counsel came back and said that they are taking a much harsher look at ethics and conflict of interest. And so anything that could have the appearance of a conflict of interest should be disclosed. So I have written a statement and I'm making my disclosure. I don't mean to be smug, but let's put it this way. The contribution was not of the level that anybody's going to call me Aunt Carol. But the piece of paper is there. And then the other two documents that I'd like for you to pick up on your way out is we have two members who have fallen below the attendance compliance requirements. And so I did consult with the RAC leadership team and with the board secretary and sent those two individuals a letter advising them of their status. And I didn't put it in the packets, but you all can pick that up as well, because I think it's part of the record that you should see. So,
Carol, what is the attendance requirement? I mean,
three consecutive meetings, or six out of the.
And this is in the bylaws. It's missing three regular meetings. And my interpretation of the bylaws is that is the monthly meeting, so that we're not counting committee meeting attendance. So either three meetings in a row or two-thirds over the course of 6 months.
Right, so you can look at if you go on the website and look at the, I assume the bylaws are in here, but if you go on the website and look at the bylaws, you will see what, it's Article 4 of our RAC bylaws. That spells out the requirements. And as you'll see in the letters, I've, frankly asked the people to reconsider resignation, because I really don't want the first public request we make of WMATA is to ask people to be terminated. You know, but anyway, you can pick those letters up. Now, it really is all yours, John.
You know, on that agenda item of meetings and et cetera. And then I guess that means everybody's free to go who wants to. I did hand out, as you all may or may not have seen, we are Metro, and this dovetails with something that Mr. Dratz is working on in his group. Metro is working on developing a more robust public participation plan, basically to guide our public participation efforts in future decision-making. We're looking for public feedback. It's kind of meta, but we're looking for public feedback on the plan right now, on how people want to be communicated with when we do communicate with them. And that's the information you see in front of you, the postcards about Speak Up, which is sort of the campaign. And then the information on some of the places where Metro staff will be going out to get people's feedback, opinions, thoughts on how they want to be communicated with. And that's on the flyer that is in front of all of you. One of the things that we've learned is that people don't necessarily, you know, this group accepted, people aren't huge fans of going to meetings. They would rather us come to where they are. So what's on the flyer is us going to where people are and asking them what they think.
Just a question on that. How long is the survey going to be up?
I will have to ask.
And is it one of these mind mixer things where you have to give them all your personal information?
I don't know.
Okay.
It's your social security number.
I do suspect that because part of the impetus for this, not all of it, but some of it is is enhance participation guidelines from the Federal Transit Administration under Title VI of the Civil Rights Act. I suspect that they will ask you demographic information so that they can, and I say this from the position of not having taken the survey, but, you know, so that they can track that the, you know, people who identify as, you know, men, say, like to be communicated in this way, and, you know, there you have it. We heard in a meeting today that they went out and talked to, that staff went out and talked to representatives of the Chinese community, and their response was, you know, we like to see things in print. In print, and specifically in Chinese in print. So, you know, people, different strokes for different folks. Everybody has their own preferences. So are we orienting now? Okay. I was expecting more of a mass exodus, so I just wanted to make sure we were in the right spot. I will try and be so everyone can read, and so I won't I will try to be very quick about this, but I just wanted to give you an idea, and this sort of follows along with what Bob said about, you know, getting information from Metro, is that we make a lot of information available online. So in case you don't know, the RAC has a website from the Metro homepage about Metro Riders Advisory Council. And then here, members lists all of you, meetings and reports. You can see from this big black box, if you click on that, you can listen to the audio of this meeting live here and now. And then if you want to listen to a past meeting, you just need to click on the speaker icon, and you can go back and listen to old RAC meetings back from, I don't know, 2012 or even before then. You all can read the information about the RAC, how many members it has, how often it meets. I think you all know that. Okay. Our meetings are conducted under Robert's Rules of Order. The last thing is a statement of affiliations and financial interests, and actually, I'm going to hand that out right now, or ask people to take one and pass it along. Basically, this is just, we just need you to affirm that you don't have any role in the selection of Metro contracts, or, you know, you're not. It is annual, as it needs to be filled out annually. You know, or that there's no opportunity for you to benefit financially from your role on the council. The other information in here, thanks, Bob. The other information, the board of directors, the group of folks who appoint you and who you report to and advise, again, about Metro Board of Directors, you can all see up here information on biographies if you want to get to know your board members, which, you know, might help. Their bylaws and procedures, which isn't super interesting. Meetings and agendas, this is also something, you know, if you want to find out what the board is doing, in terms of things that it's considering. Its presentations are all, you know, it's a public body, so its presentations are all online. You can listen either live, you'll have that same big black box up at the top here to listen to a board meeting, or if you want to listen to a past meeting, you can, you know, listen to an archive by clicking on the speaker icon. No, sorry. The board, they do have, allow me to explain. When the board of directors or one of their committees meets in executive session, i.e. meets in private, they are bound or they're required to certify that they only talked about things that are legal for them to talk about in private. So the audio recording is usually about a 15-second statement by the board affirming that, you know, we abode by our bylaws and we only talked about what we said we were going to talk about and we didn't talk about anything else and we didn't make any decisions. So they just have to do that to sort of keep their noses clean. Again, one of the things I think this year, hopefully going back to the biographies part, one of the things I think this year is to try and encourage not just the quarterly meetings between the RAC leadership and the board leadership, but also to encourage meetings between regular, you know, all the members of the RAC and their respective board members. I know that we had a pretty productive meeting, I guess, at the beginning of March with Mrs. Hines, who is the Arlington board member. There she is. There's Mary. You know, and I think that sort of building those bridges, you know, to your other board members. I know that our new member, Mr. Fogel, already knows some of these folks. But, you know, I think the more that board members can get to know you as individuals with solid opinions rather than, you know, just this group who comes once a month, I think that'll be helpful. And that's something that Lloyd and I would like to work on moving forward over the course of the year. Information is in here about when the board meets and the things that they consider and how you can listen. And then moving on to sort of where you can go to get information. Again, about Metro, public records and reports, which is a whole trove of information about, you know, our budget, civil rights, all sorts of, I mean, there's a lot of, you could spend days reading through this stuff. You would probably, you know, a lot of it would bore you to tears, but there's also some good nuggets of information that you can probably get from this. As part of that, and I think this is somewhat familiar to folks, is our vital signs, which is our performance report, and that can be found under scorecard. And I think this is something that, you know, that you all may want to just look at and sort of keep track of. It shows how we are doing, you know, how we're doing measured against the goals that we set for ourselves. So our bus on time performance is 77.4%. I think the goal is 77 or 78. So, you know, we're there. Metro Access has a 91.8% on time performance rate. We're not meeting our goal, which is either 92 or 95%. So, you know, there's more, if you sort of click around these pages, there's more information in terms of, you know, more details about the what's and the whys.
John, just a question. Is there any place where there are definitions like what escalator availability means?
Yes, I believe it's going to involve some, let's see, let's look at, in fact, if you look here at the bottom, definitions. Well, and that's actually, that just gives you definition for comparison. So worse than target. And then if you download the full report, I'm going to download the full report. There should be an appendix, and I'm just, you know, there's, if you read through the full report, you'll get here. Customer comment, crime rate, elevator and escalator availability, all that stuff. So again, this is just where to, there's lots and lots and lots of data buried on the, exactly, more than you want to know and more than you probably want to spend time researching, but it's, you know, if you do sort of get a wild hair of wanting to look into this stuff, this is a good place to start, and then it's a good place to then pester me or my successor about, you know, digging deeper or getting staff involved. I would, you know, I would say this is always sort of a good first step. So that was the vital signs and scorecard. We also have, and I'm not sure if it's got information on our strategic plan, which is sort of what we're planning, the kind of projects we're planning for 2025 and then beyond. You know, if you talk about our 2025 initiatives, and I think that's something that the board is becoming increasingly focused on, especially as it looks at the capital plan. You know, they're trying to link what they're doing to these seven things. So, again, something to look through to sort of get a sense of this is what, you know, this is what Metro has sort of determined is going to be important to move it through the next several years. Also, and maybe a little less dry or nerdier is our blog. Our planning department has a blog, Planet Metro. Not just a blog, but sort of a dorky play on words. But they have all sorts of articles, both in terms of, you know, what we're doing about momentum, changes, upcoming changes to bus routes, and sort of more background on why we're doing what we're doing. You know, as you all may know, we changed a lot of bus routes this past weekend. And so, you know, this gets into more detail. So really there is information on everything from long-range plans to very short-range stuff. And it goes, it's been around, I don't know, several years. All right, 2.5 years, my boss says. So 2.5 years is the answer. It's been around about 2.5 years. So there's a lot of posts. I don't know that they post exactly every day, but every couple of days something will come up. So this is a good place to go. And staff actually monitor and respond to a lot of the comments. So there's some good in-depth discussion. In addition, readers, not that there are tons of them, but, you know, readers can make a comment. Yes. But, and staff will jump back in, staff from our planning department will jump back in and say, no, oh, that's an interesting point you brought up. We agree, or here's why you're crazy. They're usually a little bit, how would who know where this is? You know, that's a good question. I will have to ask we tweet about it and.
Sorry. What I was going to share is that when we have specific subject matters that we are looking for feedback, then that gets advertised. So, for example, the last time that we used this method was for the public hearing. So as part of the public hearing notice, we noticed this. So we had a lot of questions and specific things the staff was looking for feedback on the budget. And so we advertised it that way.
I mean, I think part of it is people know about it. I don't know that it's huge, you know, I don't know that it's widely advertised. It is sort of a niche. So if you go to our planning and development page, it's right here. So again, it's not on the front page, but it, you know, so there's a lot of, okay. Again, I would really encourage you all. We do put a lot of stuff online. It's not, you know, we don't certainly have the sexiest website out there, but, you know, there's a lot of stuff if you take a little bit of time and dig for it. One of the other things that I believe that I neglected to put on here, and I can send you all out the link, is we also do a lot of studies of our Metro bus routes. If you go to metrobusstudies.com, which is not working, which is rude. There we go. All right. Again, another really unsexy website with a lot of really good detailed information about all of the various bus lines that we have studied since 2007. So Metro has a network of what we call our 24 priority corridors, which are, you know, heavy use bus lines that constitute about half of our bus ridership. And we've been looking at ways to improve them, you know, Metro Extra service or Express or changing routes and variations. And each of those, every time we do that for a particular corridor, goes through a 6 to 8 month study where we go out and we talk to the people that ride the bus and we engage planners and jurisdictional staff and all of that stuff. And so there's all sorts of information on here about, you know, sort of, it sort of follows a formula of, hey, tell us what the problems are. This is what we heard, what you said the problems are. Here are solutions that we're proposing. Tell us what you think about them. Here's what we're going to implement. So again, a lot of information about what has been looked at, what has been done, and why or why not it wasn't done. So again, just more fodder for you as the committees decide to sort of focus in on things, to look and see what information is already out there so that you can sort of begin your dialogue with staff from a place of knowledge. And then the last thing I have on my list is our Accessibility Advisory Committee, which is your brother or sister group, who also advises the board. You can find information about the AAC under accessibility on the website. There's a listing of meetings, members, and then what's going on. And you can also, they have two subcommittees, one that focuses on fixed route transit, their bus and rail subcommittee, one that focuses on metro access. In a similar manner to the RAC, you can listen to their meetings, you can look at their agenda and view their materials. And Pat, correct me, I don't know if you can listen live.
John, one of the things.
Yep.
Yeah, one of the things I think, and I don't know if it's going to happen, but one of the things that someone brought up to me, and I think it's an interesting idea. We don't have it in our bylaws yet, but I think maybe putting together kind of a reciprocal arrangement between the AAC and the RAC. I'm lucky enough to be sitting on the RAC as a voting member. It might be nice to be able to have a member of the RAC be part of the AAC as a voting member so that they can sit and see what we do and how we do it and maybe bring stuff back to the RAC the same way as I do from the AAC. So it's just something that actually someone introduced, and we're looking at our bylaws right now. So I think that might be an interesting idea. I don't know if it'll go anywhere, but we'll see in the next year. Since we're looking at our bylaws also, I think a reciprocal agreement might be a nice thing to have.
I see the governance committee chair noting that. Is there anything else you want to add about the AAC? I'm sure you can give it a much better description than I can.
Yeah, the only thing that I would say that I think works nicely at the AAC that I think the RAC might, and I think the RAC is moving in that direction, is that all of our work, or pretty much 80% of our work, is done at the subcommittee level, so that we get a lot of presentations at the subcommittee level. The subcommittee, which is generally a committee of the whole, makes the decisions and then passes the decisions on to the full committee for their approval. So we find that that's a good, maybe a more efficient way to do business. The only other thing that I would add is that even within some of our subcommittees, the work plans that we have been so detailed, or we want to get something done a little more precisely, we have formed working groups or task forces that report actually to a given subcommittee that specialize in a certain project, and then the subcommittee passes it to the full committee. So we've broken it down that way. The only thing that we're fighting against with the working groups or the task force reporting to the subcommittees is that we might be wearing out our own members. So one of the things that we're looking at doing is saying that if you're a part of a working group, do you really need to be part of the AAC, or can you be just a subject matter expert who is willing to come in and be an expert and do the work, but not maybe participate in the full group. Just a couple of ideas that we're working on, but it seems to help streamline the process of getting the work done.
That was really all I had. The other miscellaneous was just that if you have information about, if you have a request for information from Metro staff, I would ask that you go through me or whoever the staff coordinator ends up being, as well as keeping the chair in the loop on your requests. You know, I think we haven't really had a lot of issue at keeping things at a manageable level, but we also want to make sure that whatever requests for information we're getting or are coming into to Metro staff are something that, you know, is being made on behalf of the whole group or at least the whole committee, because it's something that you're working on. And that's really, I don't know if people have further questions. That's really my 25-cent overview of where to go to get information.
I have one quick question on the conflict of interest form here. On the back, reportable non-WMATA employment, what does that refer to?
That is a good question.
I mean, I would imagine most of us are employed, so I'm not sure, but not by WMATA. Okay.
You know, that sounds right. I can double check with our. Yeah, that's right. If anything, if you check yes, then you need to report it in box four. It's sort of like your taxes. If you check no, then you can just skip over it. Okay. That's all I have, unless people have questions. Lord knows I don't need it.
Thank you. I want to pick up the thread of what Karen might have to say about the governance committee, and then we are actually going to adjourn on time.
Okay, thanks. I'll be really quick. For the most part, the governance committee will ensure that the RAC fulfills its responsibilities and governs effectively and efficiently. So some of the items that we have scheduled to review are the bylaws. And we're also going to review RAC procedures and our meeting protocols. We've agreed to meet on the last Monday of each month, and the meeting is open to all RAC members as well. And Ben developed a
template,
right, for RAC resolutions. So we're also going to look at that at our first meeting. So it's really all I have for the governance committee.
Okay. Anything else for the good of the order?
I took the quiz. It takes 5 minutes.
Oh.
Sorry. Are we still on the governance committee, or are we done?
wait a minute, Tom. Did you take the quiz during this meeting?
Yeah. It takes
five
minutes.
Another thing to put down on the proposed ground rules. Okay.
Yeah. It takes 5 minutes. There are 7 demographics questions at the end that can all be skipped if you don't want to put it. There's also a raffle for a $50 smart trip card that you can put your name and email address down for. I went ahead and did that. It's pretty sweet. Anyway, it's 5 minutes just in case you are actually going to hand these out. Probably useful information. I promise I didn't do it during John's orientation, which was very informative. Thank you.
Anyway, so here's what my plan is for the next 2 days is try to, as quickly as possible, get out a list of things working with Barbara Hermanson, but think about which of these committees you want to affiliate with as your primary committee. RAC leadership team will determine a convener for the Safety and Security Committee. I'm assuming that the gentlemen who are the conveners will at least take you to the first meeting, and you can work with John in terms of scheduling that first meeting. And the last thing I have to say is that the quarterly meeting with the WMATA Executive Board and the RAC Leadership Team is April the 10th. Is it at noon or at 1 o'clock, John? It's at noon. Yes. So if anybody would like to come to that, you are welcome to come to that. Well, that's what we're going to develop. In other words, and that's a good idea. You know, we'll probably have a send something out to let you know what we are going to discuss. But that meeting will take place at noon. And what has happened is that the new general counsel has taken a fresh look at a lot of stuff, and she has determined that meeting is a public meeting, and that's why we won't be meeting up in a little secret hideaway up on the second or third floor, wherever we were taken to once before, you know, the last year. So, it's April the 10th, which is a Thursday.
Week from tomorrow, and it should, I believe, be streamed on the internet, so you can listen from the comfort of your office or home.
Oh, wow. Anything else? We're adjourned. On time. Ahead of time.